Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Wrestle Horror.
Greetings, viewers and listeners. Meat Hook Jim here, the Wrestle Horror Podcast. One direction or another is my co-host, Donnie Hoover. Donnie, what's going on?
Oh, man, busy day, beautiful day, hot and sunny and getting some yard work done. And now we're getting ready to sit down and have us a good talk again.
We're proud to welcome the shadowy figure on the screen, Brutal Bob Evans. Right. Bob, how's it going?
Hi, guys. How are you? Great to see you. And good to finally put faces with names. And just driving here on the roads of Massachusetts, trying to get back and get work going. I'm sorry it's been chaotic here, trying to set up a time, but I'll give you as long as I can. So, but I'm very pleased to be here and excited to talk to you guys.
Well, we do appreciate it, Bob. And, you know, I know you're busy. A lot of wrestlers are busy in some way, shape, or form. But let's talk about your career a little bit. You know, I first saw you back in Ring of Honor, I don't know, back around in the early 2010s, where you started teaming up with Mike Bennett originally. How was that experience?
Yeah, that was, Mike was actually one of my trainees from early on. I've known Mike since 16. And Mike Bennett, a.k.a. Mike Kanellis, a.k.a. back to Mike Bennett again. So,
right.
He's been a great friend and a great student all these years. And I was just saying that he has a lot of good mentors in his life, including his wife now. So, but he still keeps in touch with me, stays in contact, and that was quite an experience. And I'm hoping one of these days I'll get in the ring with Mike again in some capacity. So,
excellent. And I watched you all through the Brutal Burgers tag team with Cheeseburger. That was an interesting time.
Yeah, that was born out of we had a kind of a practice match at a tryout seminar, and I had gotten to know Cheeseburger because he'd worked on the ring crew, and then he had a match on Saturday. It's a Saturday and a Sunday camp, so you get 2 days. You get a match at the end of each day, and he had a Saturday match and it didn't go exactly the way he wanted it to. So I said, well, hey, let's do a tag match and let's have some fun with this. And let's really, even if we fail, let's show that we can do something different. And it was really kind of me protecting him in a way because he was so new at the time. But I said, but you're a guy who's here and you're setting up the ring and you're being a good person and a good guy to have around the locker room. So let's make you more valuable. Let's do the best we can to, you know, and that's what, as an older talent, that's what you're supposed to be doing anyway, kind of building up the young guys. So right. We actually had a very fun match with a couple of guys that were willing to play along, and ended up redoing that match a year later in at New York City at Final Battle. So it was a great experience. And I'm super proud of Brandell. Cheeseburger has his own school now. He took over the old Ring of Honor dojo when they moved to Maryland.
Wow.
And now he's in Bristol, PA, and he's actually become a mentor and a teacher of his own. And he's an excellent trainer, and you should check out his school, the Worldwide Dojo, when you get a chance. But he's almost like a 10-year veteran now, this guy, you know?
Oh, but my gosh.
Been all over the world and doing a lot of great things. So I'm real proud of him. So, and, you know, he's always been very kind to say that I helped give him a helping hand, and now he's turning around and reaching back and helping the other guys grow. So, yeah, I'm real proud of that experience, and I'm real proud of Brandell. He's doing a great job.
Well, it sounds like he's paying it forward. And I remember when I first saw him with you in Ring of Honor, it's like I looked at him going, this skinny, wiry guy can't be serious.
Yep. That was the perception. And there are a lot of people, including, and he's not afraid to say it now, but I remember Les Thatcher was very tough on Brandell when he started. And then he met him and saw his passion, saw how hard he was working and how much he had improved. And he got a lot of respect that day. So, and he's put on some weight now. He's filled out a little bit. I don't think he's ever going to be 300 pounds, but he's put some muscle on and, you know, put that COVID weight to use.
Right, and, right.
hit the gym heavy. And he actually did a lot of weight training with my current tag team partner, Tough Tim Hughes. So they kind of helped each other out in that aspect. So
excellent, excellent.
Yeah.
You know, I got to ask you about Iron Week, especially at 40 years old back in 2012. I mean, how did you do that?
Well, the first one, I actually did two. Okay. And it's kind of a dirty little secret. I did one in 2009. And it was the 60 minutes with six different opponents over 6 days. And then I decided on my 40th birthday, roughly, I would do 7 days. So the only thing I stipulated was if I had to travel, that's fine, but I couldn't take days off, any more days off in the week than I usually did for work. And I had to keep my job because it was pretty much going to be a free enterprise thing. Not only a free enterprise, but I was going to do it for free as well. So there wasn't any real finances involved. Not only did I do 7 matches over 7 days with 7 different opponents for 6 months, but yeah, we did those super marathons, you know, the ones where they run like 50 miles in a day and a couple of days in the desert, you know, those type of things. So, and I said, well, how can we kind of do that and still make it reasonable too, you know? And one of the things I was real proud about is all those matches were called on the fly. We didn't call anything. There's nothing to call in the back because there was no back. We just kind of met. We thought, you know, talk, if I, you know, here's my finish, here's your finish. And we just wrestled for an hour. So it was a really good experience. And a lot of the people that I had wrestled for the first time. So to wrestle somebody for the first time for an hour is very interesting. And it's a unique experience. And I still toy with the idea of doing another one, maybe when I'm 50, but I'm just, I'm two years away from that. So, and after hernia surgery and putting on a little more weight than I want to, I'm not quite ready to do it yet. So I don't want to really make that announcement, but it is something that I've always pursued and teased and haven't done yet. Haven't pulled the trigger on it, but hopefully I'll do that soon.
Well, that's got to speak a lot for your conditioning to do 7-hour matches over a week. I mean, I get tired just watching a match.
Yeah, it was fun. I mean, it's all a matter of pacing. And I think if you have experience, I mean, you have to have somebody with experience kind of running with it. And I wrestled a lot of young people in the whole thing. And one of the things that they said was, you know, the first 15 minutes are the hardest because you're trying to establish a story for the match or a pace. But once they realize that they're going to be wrestling my pace no matter what, because I can't really speed up to them, everybody was on board and everybody had a blast. It was a great learning experience for me and the person I was wrestling. So, and over the past, the two times I did it, I got to wrestle some really good people. I got to wrestle the aforementioned Mike Bennett, Matt Taven, Antonio the Promise Thomas, Adam Cole. I got to wrestle a bunch of cool people. So Vinny Marcellia, who's become a big star in Ring of Honor. I've known Vinny for a really long time. So, I mean, it's and then there were some really good people from New England. I remember there was this kid in New England named Biff Busick, and now he's Oney Lorcan, and he's a tag team champion. So, so I wrestled him on the Thursday of that week. Here's what to tell you about Biff. It was that Thursday. I ended it on Saturday, so I had 3 more days to go, and we would have broken the chain if Biff had said no, because – he ended up having to, on about 6 hours notice, he went and wrestled me in a cold gym on a Thursday with nobody watching except for one guy. And, we got the hour in. So I'm grateful to him for that. So, but yeah, it was a great experience. It was, something I kind of put on myself to do, and I got it done. And people always talk about it. It's a nice talking point on an interview too, because, you know, it's interesting. It's a unique thing. And I liked it. I wasn't too beat up at the end, and I would do it again. I just have to get into shape and be ready for it. That's all.
Yeah, I know back in my day when I was wrestling, I'd do 8 minutes and I'd be blown up and begging for mercy. I definitely didn't have that pace like you had.
took me a long time to figure out how to fill time and not bore everyone to death. So I was very fortunate that I was trained by a very old school guy named Jeff Costa back in the days, an old Kowalski guy. He was in Kowalski's second ever wrestling class. And, oh, wow. So yeah, he's very old school guy. And, Jeff ended up doing a lot of stuff in Canada. He was actually a bigger star in Canada than he was in the States. And when he came back to New Hampshire, he basically took a lot of us young guys on and we didn't even know who he was. And he took us on and he kind of taught us how to work and taught us how to, you know, the finer points and working the people and how to be a guy who can. He told me my second year in wrestling that I was going to be a carpenter and I was going to be a heel most of the time and lose most of my matches. So get used to it. And I thought I was such a young guy at the time, still a little markish. I was insulted by it. He was actually paying me a big compliment, but I was very insulted by it because I didn't understand that. You know, he said that, but that's a job that you'll always keep. And it's a job you'll never lose because it's one of the most valuable jobs on the show. Right. And he also, I think intuitively was getting me ready for coaching and running my own school and seminars and things like that, because you're always teaching in that spot. You can't have a spot like that and not teach in it. So even if you're just teaching in the match, you still have to, teach by rhythm and pace and example. You may not break it down with the person afterwards. I did, but some people don't. But you're still going to be a person who's going to be teaching that.
Well, I know Donnie has been watching you really closely, and he's got a few questions for you. I don't want to hog all the questions here.
Oh no, you're good. Yeah, you know, like I said, I've been a fan for a while, and you know, I had a few questions. You know, I've been watching you for a long time. Sure. Like Jim said. And, you know, you've had some time in WWE, you know, you're real well known and respected for your in-ring ability, but what a lot of people respect you for even more in the wrestling business is your Uncle Bob moniker of your trainings and your teachings and all that stuff.
Just to let everybody know, I've parked, so I'm not taking my eyes off the road. I'm parked.
Parked and driving safe. See, and this is just this is just like the old Hangs with Bob gimmick where you would talk and drive.
Exactly. Exactly. You guys are brought right into my world.
Right.
You know? Actually the Uncle Bob thing was kind of interesting. It was somebody locally who called me that for years before it really meant anything. It was just his nickname for me. His name was Sweet Scott Ashworth. He was a guy who started about the same time I did. And he just started calling me that. It didn't mean anything at the time. It was just the name that he called me. And then eventually I kind of, you know, again, he was a genius because I ended up growing into that spot. Mm-hmm. And as far as the mentoring stuff, I always, when I started doing seminars, and I'm sure you've been through this too, a lot of the seminars aren't necessarily like money grabs. Some of them are money grabs. But my whole thing with the seminars was I didn't pay $40, $50, $20, $100. To get screamed at about all the stuff I didn't know. I thought that was super unfair. I didn't realize that Donnie, you've been around a little bit wrestling. Mm-hmm. You started wrestling a while back.
Okay, yeah, so, 97.
All right. So I started in 92. So we were trained differently than the guys were these days. Better or worse, that's up for debate. We don't have to talk about that today, but we were trained differently. So I want to be, and I kind of consider myself a bridge between the new school and the old school, for lack of a better term. Mm. So if I'm going to do that, I can't knock either brand. Like I can't yell at the new school guys and say they suck, and I can't yell at the old school guys and say they suck. I have to kind of try to marry everybody together and say there's benefits to both. Why don't you learn from each other? And that's what I did. My career took off when I started learning what the new business was all about. I didn't have to necessarily do it, but it makes you a more effective coach when you can translate those terms and you can add, you know, richness to that tapestry if you can speak the language of the young people to a certain degree, you know? So that was my issue. But I was also seeing, again, going back to these seminars, that people were getting yelled at for stuff you didn't know. Mm-hmm. So I said, and I didn't feel like it was a very good approach. I didn't respond well to being yelled at or sarcasm or things like that. I just didn't think it was effective. I didn't think it was effective long term. It might get somebody pissed off that day, and maybe they do a good job, and that's one thing. Being able to know when to do it and when not to do it is one thing, but I'm not going to be one of these people that just yells and screams, and kids these days don't understand. To me, it's not overly effective. So I decided that I would, instead of doing a seminar, I would do a hang with Bob. Let's just hang out. Let's talk. Let me show you some stuff. Let me show you, you know, we'll talk about life. We'll talk about how wrestling plugs into your life, how your life plugs into wrestling. Let's see how we can make this work for everybody. And I'll teach you some wrestling stuff. Hey, here's a cool thing I learned. And here's five things on the independents I'm seeing every show that don't work. So maybe avoid these five things. And a lot of people would, and that's kind of what my Hangs with Bob stuff was. There's almost always a list, or there's top three things or the top 10 things, because I think people respond to that. And the fact that you have to put it in ways people understand. So I couldn't sit here and say, you know, the problem with these days, you know, the problem with this these days is yada, 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 WWE, AEW, this and that. Look, we can knock the finer points and some of the art in WWE and AEW, and we don't like this guy and we like this guy. That's fine. But study the business model. How did those guys get there? Why are they making money? What are they doing that you're not doing? Right. Even on an independent level, there's still more you can do. Mm-hmm. So a lot of what I do is the head work of stop thinking of yourself as just a wrestler. Think of yourself as a content creator. Think of yourself as a marketer. Mm-hmm. Think of yourself as a promoter of your brand and who you are. And think of yourself as a human being that connects with other human beings. Because right now, with all these crazy times we're in, no matter when you're watching this, we're always in a crazy time, right? So, but whatever the crazy times we're in, people need human connection, and they want people to relate to them on a human level. So I did that because that was the way I responded to training. I wanted somebody to pull me aside and say, look, you're a good person, but you know, you're screwing up. Or I saw your match. I've seen this in 10 states. It doesn't work in the other 10 states. It won't work here. So try something else. Or, you know, this is really good. Let's work on this. This, you seem to be a great talker, but your wrestling's not that great. So don't show me a promotional video of 3 hours, three minutes of you wrestling in an empty gym and doing bad bumps and a poor move. Show me promos. I'll hire the guy that'll do the promos. Could be major league. Yeah. I have guys out there that can barely take a bump, but their promos are great. And I have guys out there that can do every spot in the book and can't talk. I mean, you have to look at WWE or AEW, WWE especially, because WWE has, they're part of the USA, which is part of NBC Universal. So that means you could go on the Today Show. You could go on a lot of these talk shows. You could go on MSNBC, go on CNBC. So you have to learn how to talk and express yourself. And if you can't do that, then that's a big piece that you're going to be missing. And that's a big cog in the wheel of your success that you're not going to have. So I just try to tell people, these are the things you need to do, and let's help you get there. But don't do it the way I did it. Let's just get there and figure it out together how we can make you the best you. So that's really how it all became a thing. And then the Hangs with Bob thing specifically was, it was kind of a joke, because I started putting up pictures of me with, you know, Nakamura, and it was right after he signed with WWE, and it was me with Samoa Joe and me with all these famous people that I just knew at show. I just knew. I mean, I've known Samoa Joe 15 years, but we're not super great friends. I just ran into him and I said, hey man, before I die, I want pictures with everybody that it was cool to me in wrestling. And you know, you've been great and you're awesome. And I want to take a picture with you. And that was it. And he said, hey man, I'm glad you're doing well. And he was following me a little bit, and it was great. And you know what? I haven't seen him since. So I'm glad we had that conversation. I'm glad we had that picture. And then I posted it. And then I was very much tongue in cheek, joking around, saying, oh, if you hang with me, you get signed. You hang with me, you get this, you get that. So it was a joke, but then it turned into a real thing. Because some of the people that had taken my seminars were like, yeah, but when we hang with you, we do get better. We do get these, we do get this. So, and then a buddy of mine, Richard Fonseca, who's been doing a lot of design work, he made me a shirt with a cool logo on it, and I still use it today. And it just became a thing. So now, you know, it's just one of those things that kind of built brick by brick. So, and now I've become the most if there's a Guinness Book of World Records for most seminars held, it's got to be me, because I'm in the like 300 or 400 now. Mm-hmm. Because for the last 3 or 4 years, I've just been, not as much this year, obviously, but the last, from 2016 to 2019, all I did is travel and do seminars. I did 42 states. I did 3 provinces of Canada. Tim and I were ready to go to the UK and England this year, and that blew up, obviously, unfortunately, right. But that's all right. We'll get it back. So mm-hmm. we were going to grow this whole thing. That's where it came from. So that's how you got to know me. Mm-hmm. I can message you and say, hey man, can you book me? I'm pretty good. Like, and you'll be like, I don't know. But what I can do is I can provide Donnie Hoover with 3 years worth of value. And then when I walk in and say, hey man, we should, like I did earlier here, mm-hmm. you know, almost like I know what I'm doing. But I said, hey Donnie, we'll make this work. Isn't it a lot easier now? Because I've already provided you with so much value and so much, you know, now you know who I am. Mm-hmm. You know, my joke every time I'll say it to you too, and you'll laugh because we talked about it today. But you know, I'll say, hey Donnie, and I'll point to you. I'll say, see why he's smiling? Because he's glad it's not a work. It's my first joke. Because I come in and I'm this is me. I'm this way. I've always wanted to have a locker room where everybody hugs on each other and talks good to each other and builds each other up. Doesn't mean we can't yell at each other, and doesn't mean, hey man, that match effing sucks. That match is lousy. You know, you can say that, but then you better tell me how to fix it, because anyone can say that thing sucks.
Right.
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah. And that's why I took a.
Yeah. Go, please. Go ahead.
Yep. I was going to say, that's why I took a big liking to you to begin with, because I also dabble with the marketing and branding aspect of wrestling. It's an interest of mine as well. And then, so just when I saw you providing on not only your seminars where people pay to come and learn from you, which is great value that you're given, that you also give away a ton of free value with your hang with Bob's, where you riding in the car talking, you post like sheets on your Facebook wall and everywhere. You know, like two, for example, that I actually saved, and as the one, well, the one was the 3-show loop work sheet. I mean, you sent that. I thought that was brilliant. And I was like, you know,
thank you.
This is the first time I've seen somebody actually come out and write this out and send it to people and give it to them. And I don't know. Mm-hmm. Why, I mean, I know why you're not charging for it, but I'm like, this dude, you know, he could have sold this and made some money, but you know, he's providing value, and which builds your brand. And that's what you're well known for. So, and then like the double or triple your income in 90 days, you know, you got all these philosophies and all these things in a step-by-step format, which led to what you're doing now that I want to start touching in on, is you've created an online training course. You're getting into the online sector, and which I'm also mm-hmm. dabbling in myself, and you're creating great online courses. And so what about this online course can you give us before? We don't want to ruin it for the people that...
No. I'm actually pivoting off of that. I started meeting with some mentors of my own, because I realized I didn't know much about this. This is a whole new universe for me. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I knew some stuff, you know, I'd seen some YouTube stuff, and you know, anybody who's in that field knows Russell Brunson and the, mm-hmm. the real famous guys, Tony Robbins. And like a lot of the biggies yep. are involved in it. Well, they were given good information, but it was almost like kind of up here when I needed to be down here. Not because I'm a dumb guy, but because let's start from the beginning. So I found a guy named Shane. I don't get anything for this, but I'm just so impressed by him. His name is Shane Sands. He's out of Kentucky, right down mm-hmm. the street from you, sort of. Mm-hmm. But Shane does one called fliplifestyle.com. And he's a big fan of the membership model instead of just launching a class. Because what happens is, yeah, I have this great class, Donnie, but what happens when I launch it? What do I do next month? So right. that's my yep. issue. So I could make a nice big splash, but then where are we? Now I feel like I'd be scrambling to try to come up with another class or whatnot. And it just wouldn't, I don't know if that's the right, the last 4 or 5 years I've built up a community. And I think we need to keep that community going. I don't think I need to be giving you a course. I think I need to build a university around it. And I think I need to build a town around that university, so to speak. So I've decided to go to more of a membership one. First of all, it's going to be more affordable for everybody off the start. And then mm-hmm. second of all, I already have people looped in to do things with me that's going to be exciting anyway, people that are not available anywhere else. So we're going to be doing that too. And the fact is we're going to start sectoring off. I'm going to do, because a couple of people, not you, but a couple of people have said, oh, he's just like the Tony Robbins of retinol, because guess what? I can do the nuts and bolts too. I'm one of the best guys at doing the nuts and bolts stuff in the ring too. So I can do show you that too. And we're going to find some interesting ways to do that in a positive way. That's going to call out some of the matches of the past. We're going to analyze the matches from the past, but we're not going to do it like, oh, look at Macho Man. He's wearing funny clothes. He has weird hair. Like, okay. Mm-hmm. But he was the best wrestler, one of the best wrestlers of all time, and made $10 million. So, and right. He cried when he died and you never met him before. Right. So why don't we talk about that instead of being 5 years old and talking about how he had 1995 mullet or whatever. Right. Let's talk about the match. Let's talk about drawing money with Hogan, nothing but money all over the country and all over the world. Let's talk about that. Oh, let's talk about how he did it and what he did. So that's the kind of stuff I'm going to be doing. We're going to be doing match analysis. I don't know if we're going to be doing any kind of like online ring stuff. That'll probably be more for the live stuff I do. But we will find ways to bring technique into it, probably in a higher level. And yeah, the loop thing is something I get asked about all the time. And that'll end up probably being one of my freebies I'll do to kind of lure you into the tent, so to speak. Just talking marketing for a second. It'll be one of my lead magnets. Yep. But it's a hell of a lead magnet to run with, because, you know, and if you need more help with it, then here we are to help. And that's the goal. The goal is to drip out information, give people good stuff, and then say, there's even more stuff in here. Come see it. And that's where we are now. I think that's where we're going with it. And I expect competitors, and I'm excited to have competitors, because I'm friends with all my competitors anyway, and there's room for everybody. Everybody has there's a lot of good people out there that have a lot of good things to say, and let's get them going. And we have to, again, it reaches back into what I was saying about talking to the kids these days. This is what they're watching. I have a 14-year-old boy and a 12-year-old girl, and they watch YouTube shows that are less than 15 minutes. And then I did stuff has 2 million views on it. And I looked and they said, that's the perfect length for people who are 14 and 12 is 15 minutes or less. And I said, wow, this is like, these kids can teach me something. These 22-year-old kids who are making 10 grand a month, 10 grand a week, they can teach me something. Now, it's not all about money, but if we're going to do it anyway and we're going to do it well, we might as well make some money for it. So right. I'm excited that you're looking into it too, Donnie. I think that's where we are now.
Yeah, and I said
when we're all shut down.
Right. Yeah, know? That's why I was smiling and grinning when you mentioned Russell and lead magnets, because that's the world I'm in right now too. Yeah, with Russell and Tony and Dean Graziosi and all those guys and Dave Espino.
Well, I'm going to send you the link to Shane's stuff, because Shane's a good Kentucky boy who was like a dumb jock that figured all this out, and he did 90% of the work for us.
Mm-hmm.
And then now we're just going to take that information and push it forward. And he's a giant wrestling fan.
Right.
One of his first dates with his wife was a WCW Nitro taping. So, and he still follows the business. He was excited. I got a message right back from him on his message board. Great to have you here. And he understood my concept immediately without me even having to explain it. So this is a guy he can speak our language to a certain extent, at least as a fan.
Mm-hmm.
And he kind of sees where we're going. So I'll send that to you. Like I said,
perfect.
I'm not a blind guru. He's not my blind guru. I know I have to do the work, and I've already done a lot of work this week. I've only been a part of it for a week, but it's where we're going. It's the world these days, you know?
Absolutely. So, yeah. We've mentioned it a couple times here on the Wrestle Whore podcast, like ever since COVID hit. You know, like I said, I own a wrestling promotion. I used to co-own a haunted trail because I'm into the haunted house industry as well. And
oh, cool.
And everything, you know, which our trail is no longer going, but, you know, like haunted houses struggled this season. You know, wrestling promotions, we don't even have to, you know, mention it. They were, permanently shut down for months, you know. So there had to be, and that's when I was talking to Jim. I've been talking to my wife, and like I followed Russell ever since his potato. I remember his potato gun.
Still, oh wow! So you're back in the day.
Yeah, so I've been following him for many, many years, and that's what, like I said, I've been preaching on here. You know, there's got to be a different way. We got to learn to pivot. You know, we can't focus and put all of our eggs in the same baskets we used to put them into, and yeah, branding. And like I said, I think wrestling and haunted house industry is untapped markets with branding and marketing. You know, there's a different way to do things now, and I just don't see wrestling and haunted house industry doing that. And then like I said, when you were saying stuff, I would, you know, throughout the last couple months, I would grin because I knew where they were coming from. And I was like, I bet he's studying the same stuff I am, you know?
Well, and the thing is too, it's kind of a compilation of everything. Plus mm-hmm. I study different businesses too. I study different industries.
Yeah.
Again, it's like parallel businesses. You know, you go to I go to Frozen on Ice with my kids, and there's 8,000 people singing a song, and it's the girl on the ice is lip syncing it because she get blown up singing it because right. singing do ice dancing at the same time, mm-hmm. and I'm singing it too. You know that Let It Go song, we all know it. So, yep. And then they're just making money hand over fist on merchandise too.
Oh yeah, so, absolutely.
You know it's one of these things where you have to learn and see. You know, and the merch hustle thing was so late for me. So late. I don't know if it was self-esteem or I just didn't see the money or the, and then one of the guys I was just wrestling, one of the young guys was on a trip with me and he's like, yeah, the last show I was at, I made like $200 in merch. I said, what?
Yeah. Like, what?
You, I mean, you're good and you're a good guy, good young guy, but you don't have any name value. He does now, but he didn't back then. Mm-hmm. He's like, yeah. And there's guys that do better than I do. And I said, really? He's like, yeah, there's money to be made there. If you're over, you're good. You're over with the fans, you'll make money. I said, really? He goes, yeah. So I started looking into it, and I just started doing it, and I was selling a lot of my Hangs with Bob shirts to the boys because they wanted it. Mm-hmm. And then the first year I'd almost always do a contest, you know, show me the longest drive you did, and you know, I don't want people to do it for a shirt, but if they're gonna drive anyway, let's make a game out of it. So there were people that would do like 1,700 miles on a weekend, or if you could beat me at the drive I did this weekend, I'll give you a shirt, things like that, or I'll give you 30 minutes counseling, or you know, business counseling or something. So that was a lot of kind of, I didn't do it in an organized way, but that was a lot of the stuff I did to build it up. But again, like you know, I mean, you've already explained it. You've explained it perfectly. I just kept providing tons of value. It's the Gary Vee formula. You know, Gary Vee does everything for free because he makes money in other places. But, you know, Gary Vaynerchuk, for people who don't know. But,
right.
Another giant wrestling fan. So, but just give value. It's the 51-49, you know. Or as I put it in another way, realize people are never going to do as much for you as you do for them, and then do it anyway. So because if you sit here and you're looking to get paid back on everything, then don't have kids. Don't, you know what I mean? Like your parents will be sending you an invoice, you know, we've already heard with the current climate, I've already seen so much hypocrisy. I'm just trying not to be a hypocrite anymore. At least if I'm a hypocrite, I'll be just a human hypocrite and not a wrestling hypocrite, right. You know? So,
yep, there you go. You know, now the membership site and all that stuff that you were discussing earlier, is that where the WrestleLife.com is coming into play?
The WrestleLife.com, because it's not wrestling, it's not life, it's the Wrestle Life. Because 95% of the people we deal with are going to be guys like me and you. I'll be honest with you, and I've said this to people, and this is nothing I hide from. I tried doing full-time wrestling in fact, I made a big announcement about it, one of the biggest announcements. One of the biggest, most views I got, people thought I was retiring. I actually just quit my job to try wrestling, and I probably could have made it work, but I hated it. Because now it was a job, mm-hmm. and it wasn't, and I had a lot of opportunities back in the day, Donnie, to get a job in WWE. I was good enough. I wasn't the best by any means, but I was good enough to make it if I had applied myself. Mm-hmm. But I didn't want to wrestle full time. I still don't. And for some reason, I still had it in my head that I had to be that hustle guy that, if you're not wrestling 150 times a year, you're a bum, you're a mark, you're lousy, you're no good. And there's a middle class in wrestling. And most of the people are going to be, 95% of your market is going to be people that have regular jobs. So all I was saying was, just because you're an independent wrestler that has a job, if you do it well, it still counts as a second income, and mm-hmm. you can still make 15, 20 grand, 30 grand on the side. which is way better than slinging pizzas on the weekend or driving Uber or, and again, I also try to enrich people with families, because one of the biggest things, I was lucky. I have a wife that's incredibly understanding and got it. Her dad was a traveling salesman. So she understood the fact that sometimes you have to go out of town to work. So I was really fortunate. However, not everybody is. And they, and I also was making money coming back with a decent amount of money. So, so the deal is, sorry, I'm getting messages coming in too.
All good.
So the deal is, if you're going out there and your wife is complaining, okay, then find a way, and you like your wife, you don't want to get away from her, then find a way to make it where it's a family trip. Make it a vacation, a mini vacation. Hey, come with me. You don't even have to go to the show. Sit in the hotel room. I'll use some of the tips that Bob suggested, or maybe Donnie, maybe that's your thing too. I don't know, but I'm a big like saving money on the road type person. So, and then, but if I go on the road with my family, I'll spend some money, but I'm not going to spend it on myself, but let's make it enjoyable. So she says, oh, well, if you want to go to that wrestling show, there's a museum in town that I want to see, or there's a shop or an antique thing or whatever she's into. And you just go to the show on Saturday and then do her thing, stay over, have a nice night, relax, get some sleep, enjoy yourself, wake up, have a nice breakfast, and then do something on the way home. Make it a little staycation thing where it's, you know, a little getaway. And it doesn't have to be just you and your wife. It can be the family. It can be whatever. I mean, I don't want to bring my wife around if she's going to be bored at a wrestling show. But if she's going to sit home and watch TV and be mad at me, she might as well sit home and watch TV and be happy with me at the hotel instead of being at the house. So that's one way to do it where it doesn't bite into the family time. Another thing, too, is just pick the right shows, but that's tough to do. But pick shows that you know are going to make you money. If it's a show for a buddy that you just like to go to once in a while and it draws 15 people and they don't buy anything, maybe take a couple months off from that and go to the show where they draw 300 people and have, you could sell a bunch of merchandise that, because at least you'll come home with money. We trade time for all this stuff, but at least if you're going to trade your time, and especially time away from your family, then trade it for money. Don't just trade it, because the thing that we can't get through our thick heads long enough is that, yeah, we had a killer match and brother, they were all on their feet and we sold out and there were so many people, they were hanging from the rafters and man, that was the best title match we've had in 6 months here and yada, yada, yada. Well, guess what? Your wife don't care. Your kids don't give a damn. They're doing something else. They care about you being home. They don't care about you winning the belt, losing the belt, you know, putting the guy over, having a hell of a match. Doesn't matter. What they want to know is that you're going to be there for them most of the time. So you have to just be more strategic in the way you do your wrestling. And that's what I've been teaching a lot. You know, I went off a script for 5 of the classes. The last class, I put the script down. I talked from the heart and told them my story and said, when I went full time, all it did is it got me into gambling. It got me to an addiction because I didn't have enough to do with my time. I need more structure. I'm ADHD and OCD. I need more structure. I need a job to anchor me to my family, to make my family whole and okay. My wife was super worried about the money, and she told me this later, but she never bugged me about it. That's why you stay with those women, you know? But she never bugged me about it. But eventually I came to the realization, like, you're a father, you're supposed to be leading the household, and your wife's making 5 times as much money as you, which is great. But and she makes a good income, but that's also because you're not even pulling your end of the financial deal. Mm-hmm. So you have to do that. So what I did was I got a little courier business going. I deliver medication to nursing homes, but it allows me to have a little bit of free time when I'm doing it to talk to you. I'm actually on my way back to pick up my next route in a couple minutes, but it allows me the flexibility and also pays me good enough where I can just funnel that money right to my, you know, right to my family. And then I use wrestling money to finance my wrestling dream. Mm-hmm. But again, most of the trips now are either done with family members or the quick trip, or there's money involved. So, that's pretty much in a nutshell what I'll be teaching. And obviously we'll be doing a lot of other stuff around it, technique and all that. But the other stuff is the stuff that people want. people crave. It's all the other stuff. I never taught you how to take a slam.
Yep.
You know, I taught you how to do all the other stuff. Now I can teach you how to take a slam, but let's 5,000 other people can teach you how to take a slam.
Right.
But 5,000 people can't teach you how to book a hotel room that's going to be comfortable and in the long run save you money. That kind of silly stuff. Or book a plane ticket for 20% off sometimes. Mm-hmm. You know, like all these dumb little secrets and how to leverage that into getting two or three more dates and make it look like that you paid for everything and the promoter loves you.
Yep.
And all you did is kind of just leverage all your little pieces of, you know, your, again, what does Tony Robbins say? If we don't have the resources, we have to be resourceful. Mm-hmm. Just find ways to make the trip work.
Yep.
It's a homework assignment. It's your job now. So that's pretty much in a nutshell what we'll be teaching. So,
yeah. And it's definitely needed in our industry. Like I said, you know, I think that pro wrestling and haunted house industry both are so behind the times on this kind of stuff. And it just needs to
We'll have to talk about this haunted house industry. I went on my, one of these days, Donnie, you and I will get on the phone and we'll talk because the, I went on my first haunted trail. They had one at one of the KOA campgrounds we went to. And it was really good. It was really enjoyable. So yeah, I'm curious. I'd like to talk to you about that.
We'll include Jim on that because the reason he's here with us is he's a 30 plus year haunt veteran.
So we need...
I'm retired haunted house actor.
Awesome.
Yeah,
awesome. Well, hey, if I can let you guys go just because I do have to take off.
Absolutely.
I told you 6:30, but I was having so much fun. We made it 6:50.
We can do it again anytime.
I'd love to, guys. Hey, thank you so much. Donnie, it was great to finally meet you, meet the face.
Yep.
And Jim, it was
same
a pleasure
here.
To meet you. A
pleasure,
and,
Bob.
Yep, and I will catch up with you guys soon. But thanks so much for having me on. So
no problem.
Thanks for joining us.
All right, guys.
All right.
All right. Have a great night.
You too.
See you later. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. Make sure you follow us on all of our social media outlets. Facebook.com/WrestleHorror. Instagram @WrestleHorror. Twitter @WrestleHorror. On our YouTube channel, The Wrestle Horror Channel. Also, you can find us at www.WrestleHorror.com.